Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. The state spells out what it's doing to clear up confusion between zeros and O's with license plate reading cameras.
We had a couple of instances where citizens, were pulled over due to a misidentification.
Unaffiliated voters have a choice to make, red ballot or blue ballot, which will have more sway in Colorado.
I think it's important for voters to think about where they can have the most impact, right?
And in a resort town, it's tough to convince the locals to accept help putting food on their table. The local food bank says there's enough for everyone, so come on in. We'll help them together tonight on Next. Colorado is trying to unflock the situation with our license plate, since surveillance cameras like the Flock network cameras can't always tell zeros from O's. Colorado license plates typically contain both zeros and O's. We have talked about this confusion before the spy cameras were everywhere. This is actually a topic of a Next question that you put in 2023. The state says they changed the font to try and make the O's and the zeros more distinguishable from one another. The O now looks like a fluffy zero. But the state realized that the font change was not always enough to tell them apart. People were getting pulled over for mistaken plates, so they made another shift.
About halfway through our configuration that begins with E, we were able to eliminate any future production of license plates with the O on that numeric side to help avoid the confusion. From what I see anyway, the scope of that misidentification isn't vast and broad. It's not happening constantly.
The state says if you're still getting pulled over due to confusion on your plate, you can go to your county DMV and request a new plate. It's up to the individual county whether you'll have to pay for it. So your best chance is to bring documentation that the camera confusion on O's versus zeros has flocked you over in the past. In addition to the privacy concerns with Flock and other surveillance cameras and the license plate reading confusion, our Evan Krugel caught wind of another issue, not so much with the camera, but with the pole it rode in on.
Off Johnson Road in the city of Golden sits a tall black pole and a camera used to read the license plates of drivers passing by. It's a surveillance tool that's faced plenty of controversy, but the latest doesn't involve the cameras themselves. Instead, it's how they're being installed across the country.
Nobody's inspecting these.
Steve Imers has been fighting for better roadside safety after his daughter Hannah was killed in a crash 10 years ago.
My daughter was killed in the background down here when she hit a guardrail that speared the passenger compartment, which set me on this journey of crashworthiness concerns.
And he says this camera and others lack any sort of breakaway mechanism commonly found on roadside poles.
When it hits from this direction, well, either direction, these bolts are going to break away and the sign will actually just tip right over top of the vehicle. Actually, here's an old bolt from where it's been hit.
The Jeffco Sheriff's Office says this camera is operated by the city of Golden and was installed by Flock. A spokesperson for Flock says they do use advanced breakaway poles in installations on DOT-managed roads, highways, and other high-speed corridors. But in this case, because the roadway is a lower-speed roadway, an advanced breakaway pole was not needed. A Golden spokesperson says Public Works reviewed the cameras after we reached out today and found no significant concerns.
It's the Wild West. We've gotten the cart before the horse. We just don't have the processes in place to provide the proper oversight.
And with roughly 1,000 Flock cameras now installed across the state, Steve believes more oversight is needed.
You install these in a non-crashworthy manner, I believe you're doing something wrong.
Now, that Flock spokesperson did say they follow all local codes when they install these. Federal highway code requires those breakaway plates at the bottom, but most local municipalities do not. Steve, the guardrail guy, believes that should be changed and says he'll continue pushing for those changes. Kyle.
Never in a million years would have thought that this would have been part of the consideration when we spent so much time just focused on what's on top of the pole.
Right. Confusion up top and below.
All right. Evan Krugel, thank you. The union representing workers at the Cargill beef plant in Fort Morgan are now taking legal action against that company. The lockout there has stretched into a fourth week. The company locked out about 1,700 union workers after months of unsuccessful contract negotiations. Today, the union announced it's filed unfair labor practice charges against Cargill for blocking the workers' pay and benefits. The union is negotiating for higher hourly wages and better health care coverage. Some of the locked out workers say this has gone on long enough that they've now started to apply for unemployment. It's not clear how long the lockout could last. Could be weeks, could be months. Cargill says they last met with the union 2 weeks ago and didn't come to an agreement. 2 million Coloradans have a choice to make before they cast a vote in the June primary, if they so choose. Those 2 million unaffiliated voters can either return the Democratic primary ballot or the Republican primary ballot. Not both. And given the recent history of Democrats' dominance in statewide races, unaffiliated voters told our Marshall Zellinger why they're likely to turn in the blue ballot.
Living in Boulder County, John Caldera's Republican primary ballot options are slim.
No county commissioner, no county recorder, no county. I mean, it's not like there's just one name on there. There's nobody there.
The right-leaning head of the Independence Institute is an unaffiliated voter with a choice. He'll return the Democratic primary ballot this month.
Do I vote in the Republican primary for somebody who's likely going to lose in the general, or do I try to get someone who's a little less bad on the Democratic side to the general election? And that's where I'll probably go.
I think it's important for voters to think about where they can have the most impact.
Former Republican lawmaker turned unaffiliated voter Cole Wist sees his impact meaning more in the Democratic primary.
Democrats are likely to win the general elections. I care about who the candidates are that are coming out of the Democratic primary. And on balance, I think I can have more impact on the Democratic side if I were to return that ballot. It doesn't mean that I don't care what happens in the Republican primary.
Our Democratic ballot has a lot more options than the Republican one currently.
Jenny Thomas is the unaffiliated county clerk in Rout County, which includes Steamboat Springs. 55% of that county's voters are unaffiliated and can return either the Republican ballot with 3 contested races or a Democratic ballot with 5.
I like to actually do some research from both sides of the aisle and then make my decision based on that, not party lines.
Recently, I registered as a Democrat in order to participate in the caucus process. As soon as that was concluded, I switched back to unaffiliated.
Kyle Bollier is a Lafayette councilman who briefly became Democrat to help pick who showed up on the Democratic ballot. He'd rather see ranked choice voting and open primaries with all candidates on one ballot.
Our political system doesn't serve Coloradans well, and we need to change that.
I have always been one that researches, even when I was not an unaffiliated. I still vote for the person, not the party.
Tiffany Lee is the unaffiliated clerk in La Plata County in southwest Colorado. She's a former Republican who will also turn in the Democratic primary ballot based on Democrats she wants to see win in November.
The candidate that you still feel strongly about, you should support. So if it's on the Republican ticket or the Democratic ticket, you should still support that candidate and get them through.
Early voter right there. Everyone I talked with told me they would decide year by year on what races are on the ballot. For instance, in El Paso County, Kyle, there are a few contested state house races for Republicans. That might mean more for those unaffiliated voters than the statewide options.
So if somebody wants to make a statement, right, about the direction of a party, you heard John Caldera talk about it, now's the time to do it. In November, you can't make a statement about the direction of a party. You can just say red team, blue team, or a team that nobody's ever heard of, right? This is the opportunity. If people want to talk about the direction of a party, now's your opportunity.
And this is where the story came from. I struggle as an unaffiliated journalist what to do. I don't participate in the primaries, but if based on these conversations I had today, and they all encouraged me to participate this time around, if I want to have a say at all, essentially, on who might be leading the state, I might need to do it this month and not just November when the other voters have kind of rubber-stamped my options. If I want to feel like I may be swayed one way or the other, I might need to participate this time.
Yeah, same boat, brother. I'm an unaffiliated voter. I've never participated in a party primary, but every year there are fewer and fewer good reasons to sit on the sidelines when so much is decided in the primaries. It's tough for me to tell people, you should go vote if you're unaffiliated in the primary, and then I'm not going to do it myself. Right. I don't know. It's interesting. We'll be honest. We'll tell people what we do. All right, Marshall, thank you. Let's do some good together in Colorado tonight. Your Word of Thanks microgiving campaigns have raised $18 million in 6 years. And this week, in collaboration with our 9 Cares Colorado Shares Food Drive, let's help feed some families in far northwest Colorado. The nonprofit Lift Up of Route County is fighting hunger and the stigma that sometimes comes with accepting help. Lift Up serves 1 in 7 families in Route County. They have seen their food bank visitors spike by 2/3 in recent years. Often the folks who come in are working at least one job, and some struggle with complex feelings about getting food from a no-pay grocery store. So they even have a grab-and-go section up front where somebody can come in, get a meal for their family, and leave without ever having to interact with staff or be there very long. Sue, the woman who's in charge at Lift Up Route County, told me that the cost of living there in and around Steamboat's really high. It's hard for people to make ends meet even if they're working. And they're trying to get past that stigma that the food assistance is only for the poorest of the poor in the community. She tells her neighbors, "We have enough for them and for you." And we have enough people around this state who chip into these weekly microgiving campaigns to make a real difference for our neighbors in Northwest Colorado. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to donate. You have proven that even $5 helps when a ton of people do it together. You know I will never ask you to give to a cause I don't support myself, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us going. We are coming up on 8,000 of you signed up to make a monthly pledge to the Word of Thanks Fund. Put in your info one time, pick a donation amount, your donation's automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. That has started recent weekly campaigns with almost $50,000. Firefighters in Colorado are playing whack-a-mole today as fires keep popping up around the state. Most of Colorado is currently in the fire danger zone.
We need to be using things once. We can use things over and over again.
Discarded toys are getting another chance to make a kid smile. They just need a little work. That's next. Most of Colorado is under a red flag warning today. Warm temperatures, low humidity, strong winds, and there are some spot fires here and there. There's a fire in western Colorado in Rifle near Highway 13 and West 26th Street. Pretty close to town, there are a couple of streets shut down there. Fire popped up in southern Colorado in Los Animas County this afternoon. That fire has forced people out of their homes. It's burned about 120 acres northeast of Trinidad. There's a fire burning near the Eagle and Pitkin County lines in Colorado's White River National Forest. That started burning yesterday. There's some people northeast of Aspen under mandatory evacuation. Two fires sparked by lightning are burning in southwest Colorado. One's more than 300 acres. The other is about 50 acres at this point. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi, we're headed into that season where this is going to be the churn as firefighters try to stay on top of it. And sooner or later, resources will get stretched. Something will start to run, hopefully in an area far away from people.
Yeah, and Kyle, I think it's important to note, not in a negative way, but we are basically out of outs at this point, right? A couple things to keep in mind. One, our snowpack has essentially fully melted off. We have statewide officially 0.1% snowpack. We're basically officially fully melted off this week. Number two, our next saving grace, our next out is monsoon season, but that doesn't really get going usually until July when we get those daily mountain showers and storms. So we unfortunately are heading into the time of year where we start seeing those mountain fires start to pop on up for us. And a fire weather warning for today, and that continues until 8 p.m. tonight. That also includes eastern Colorado, Denver on east, under that fire weather warning until 8 p.m. tonight. Now, it's going to stay blustery for the next couple of hours, breezy, windy right on that border. But then we're going to get another surge of wind this evening as a cold front moves through just before or close to midnight. And that will lead to some gusty winds, 30 to 40, maybe even 50 mile an hour winds late tonight, early tomorrow morning. Then that wind fortunately takes a breather tomorrow. So tomorrow, much lower fire weather concerns. That is some good news. 86 officially today in Denver, though we nearly reached 100 in Lamar today. And that 7-day forecast, we spike up to 91 again, with unfortunately probably some increased fire danger in the mountains for us on Friday. And then on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, we cool down with widespread storms quite likely for us on Sunday in particular. And then next week, unfortunately, warm right back up again. So just an overall takeaway here, folks, is that we're heading into fire season and it looks that way based on what we're seeing here from Mother Nature.
There's a group in our community keeping trinkets and gadgets from going to the island of misfit toys. Those toys go in broken and they come out ready for new life. Broken toys often get tossed. Doesn't have to be that way. Whether it's a busted buzzer or missing puzzle pieces, a group in Fort Collins is helping to bring new life to old toys and games.
But normally it gives us a buzz that makes us, this guy's not doing that.
This is the Toy Game and Puzzle Library in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are a lending library for toys, games, and puzzles.
Project Replay is a program we started. This was for us to be able to send less toys and things we enjoy playing with to the landfill.
We recently got a grant from the Colorado Circular Communities Fund. What that did is it allows us to create a place in the back of our location, kind of a mini maker space. We can refurbish toys and games and puzzles.
For us to be able to do that, we needed things like all these sorts of fun little gadgets and tools. And I never even thought about until this started how many different kinds of glue there is to stick things back together.
We don't need to be using things once. We can use things over and over again.
We've been doing workshops and classes for people to learn how to solder, to learn different glue safeties.
So if we can take a toy or a game or a puzzle that has been broken or is missing a piece,
so that is now repaired.
We can fix that up, we can refurbish it, and we can get it back out there so that somebody else can use it and enjoy it.
I always love seeing games continuing to live on. Ta-da!
Zvi is here with Zviedback. That's next. Thank you, thank you. There are working families that are struggling to get by in Colorado's resort towns and surrounding communities where Colorado's high cost of living is even higher. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join me and a bunch of others in supporting the food pantry that serves the Steamboat area. The nonprofit Lift Up Route County both fights hunger along with the stigma that working people don't need help putting food on the table. They say their goal is if they can save a family a couple hundred bucks a month, that might keep them in their home, ability to make a mortgage or a rent payment, so they don't have to leave the community, leaving the whole community then short of a workforce. LJ in Windsor writes in to say, how are the folks showing up for the free food vetted for need? LJ, I talk to a lot of nonprofits serving folks around Colorado that deal with hunger, and they tell me that if somebody is willing to take that step to come in and say, I need help feeding my family, they believe that those folks overwhelmingly do need help, and they're not interested in putting up roadblocks to getting that assistance that might shame people or cause people to otherwise turn away. If folks are willing to make that courageous step to say, hey, I need help feeding my family. From Tex, appreciate getting both ballots to choose from as an unaffiliated voter. I feel like we should be able to choose from both Democratic and Republican options. That is not currently how the law works. It's not cafeteria style. Could you imagine if they put it on one ballot, people will be checking in one race, checking in another race? No, that's why you get two separate ballots. If you're unaffiliated, pick one.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.